Hello, everybody, and welcome to Web and Beyond Live for August 23rd, 2021. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I'm president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, like dedicated hosting, shared hosting, VPS, fully managed, and all kinds of fun stuff, domain name registration services, and other web-related programs and products for small business. Web and Beyond Live is a weekly show about topical and timely small business digital and marketing and related issues. Basically, all the things I'm tracking from week to week that I think you might be interested in or need to know to be competitive, you know, marketing and managing your business on the web and beyond today. And so welcome those of you who are joining live. Thank you to those who are listening after the fact via video and or via the podcast. So if you're joining me here live, feel free to also ask questions while I'm here. And we will try to answer those questions here live during the show. So today we've got our social media our small business social networks update episode for August 2021. So we'll go back to other news next week, but this week we're focusing, like we do each month, on the social network updates du jour. And so we have a lot to cover, and so let's get right into it. What I thought I would do going forward is to give a little bit of an update in terms of holidays, kind of the, you know, retail holidays that are coming up each month. In social media, it's always difficult to come up with new ideas and new topics and so on and so forth. So this coming month, September, so you have some time to plan yet, we have September 4th is National Wildlife Day. September 5th is International Day of Charity. We have Read a Book Day on September 6th, which is also Labor Day. We have International Literacy Day paired up with on September 8th, paired up with Read a Book Day. So that's really a good time if you're a bookstore or something like that to be focusing on those issues. There is National Grandparents Day on September 12th. National Video Games Day is also September 12th. Wonderfully, there's September 21st is International Day of Peace. And then we have the first day of fall coming up. National Coffee Day, cafes, restaurants, those who are making coffee and all kinds of things, caffeine, can take advantage of September 29th for National Coffee Day. And then September 30th has International Podcast Day. And so any of you out there who are podcasting or doing other things like that, really keep in mind that that's coming up. I will make notably International Bacon Day is September 4th as well. So anybody who's interested in talking about all things bacon should check those out. So I figured I would each month kind of highlight some of those top tier ones for those of you who are interested. And then following up on that, it turns out that Facebook has launched their own little campaign idea generator for small businesses. And so in essence, you'll find a link in the video description and in the show notes. And what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to click on your type of business. You click on your option here, so we can say tech and telecom. And then for any time of year, you can then choose a particular holiday, retail holiday, or season. And so I can say Labor Day is upcoming. And then it will go ahead and generate campaign ideas for me based on those criteria. And so that's really great. Just a quick little tool that if you are kind of running dry in terms of what you would like to be able to do for a particular upcoming month or season, this can help you jumpstart those ideas. Okay, so with that, let's continue on with more Facebook news. In essence, as expected, Facebook has been once again sued by the FTC. They filed a brand new antitrust complaint. And so we will start seeing some reaction and response to that. Nothing is going to change immediately. But we do know that since the new FTC chair is pretty bullish on this idea of breaking up Facebook, we're going to see continued renewed efforts here, and we'll see what happens. I think that the last complaint that was filed was dismissed for lack of evidence. I think in this new complaint, the argument's a bit stronger, so it's just going to be up to the courts to figure that out. But just know that we are not seeing any immediate changes to Facebook, but we may potentially, maybe 4, 5, 6 years down the line, maybe a decade down the line, who knows, the Microsoft antitrust case took quite a long time to get through the courts. And it really ended up not doing very much to Microsoft other than making them a better company. And perhaps maybe that will be the case here with Facebook. It'll help them find their moral threads and get them moving in the right direction. Not sure, but we'll see. Okay, continuing on with Facebook. Facebook has recently launched a new service called Workrooms. And Workrooms are basically virtual meeting rooms in virtual reality, meaning that you would put on virtual headset or go into these environments and you have an avatar. And the idea is to create presence socially in these virtual worlds. Facebook is pushing this term called metaverse. So you may start hearing it over the next few years. The idea is that dislike the true metaverse, which is the concept that there are multiple universes that are kind of stacked on top of one another, and these permutations basically recreate every permutation of reality that you could think of. Other than that metaverse in the kind of physics space, in virtual reality, and what Facebook is really talking about as it relates to the metaverse is the way that people can connect with each other in and across many different types of technologies. So maybe I join a meeting via Zoom or some other video meeting technology. You might join it through a Facebook Oculus VR headset and you're in virtual reality. And someone might join by phone. Someone might join by some other technology that's not even created yet. And in essence, we all come into the same space. And that is the metaverse, is what Facebook is kind of pushing here, that they're creating this metaverse for people to be able to connect to. I think it's really interesting. It's a unique technology. We definitely need to overcome this barrier. Kind of I noted in the article here from the New York Times that it's really the holy grail of technology is this idea that we can make our presence felt like we would in person. So if I were face to face with you right now, what would that be like in a digital world? And in reality, I mean, Jaron Lanier and others really talk about this concept of virtual reality as being a mechanism for us to be able to really appreciate real physical in-person connection more by virtue of utilizing VR and augmented reality, AR, and others. So I'm really excited about it. I think that it's a very powerful technology, and I hope that over the next few years, we see more companies come out. I don't certainly want Facebook to be the only one developing this technology. We know that Microsoft has been working on this. We know that Magic Leap and other companies are working on this technology. And so hopefully we'll see more and more come out with these types of virtual reality platforms for us to be able to utilize. Actually, Mozilla of the browser, you know, the Mozilla Firefox, they've actually developed something called Mozilla Hubs, which is a free platform for you to be able to create this kind of virtual reality. And you can create basic avatars, but they're not particularly great yet. And I look forward to seeing more and better implementations of this technology so that we can see what's going on there. And so just very interesting to see how different companies are investing in this. Continuing on, Facebook has recently started to bring Reels from Instagram into Facebook. And so as you may or may not know, up until now, you could see Facebook stories and Instagram stories on Facebook, but you have not been able to see Reels. And so Facebook, of course, wants to continue to bring more eyeballs to Reels because they're in competition with TikTok and YouTube Shorts. And so now they're bringing Reels to the Facebook platform. This is potentially huge for those of you who are creating short form videos. Remember, those can be now up to 60 seconds in length. And so you can really produce some, you know, a little bit longer form content on Instagram Reels and now get greater visibility by syndicating those to Facebook. So just know that that is now a possibility. Next up is this moving from Facebook to Instagram. Instagram put out this series of videos in a post that helps to explain how their algorithm works, and it's quite interesting. So they put these series of videos together to explain how their algorithm works, and it notes several really important features. One is that it says in order to determine which reels they show, they watch a reel all the way through, and these are the things that help determine whether you see more of these things, that you watch it all the way through, you like it, you say that it's entertaining, I've got to go back here so they can replay the video here. So they say in order to determine which reels to show to you, they consider how likely you are to watch it all the way through, that you go ahead and like the video itself, that you say it was entertaining or funny, I'm guessing in the comments, and you go to the audio page to make your own reel. That is, you go to extend the content in some way, shape, or form. Very interesting how they're trying to understand what's going on with regard to these particular reels. I'm going to expand this so you can see it a little bit better and remove that face in the background. And so going back then, they say in order to do that, they also look at these signals. And the most important signals are your activity. They say we look at things like which reels you've liked, commented on, and engaged with recently. This is the user. It says your history of interacting with the person who posted the reels. So if you're looking at someone's reels, then they're going to show you more of that. It says information about the reels, such as the audio track, the video, based on pixels, whole frames, and popularity. And then it says information about the person who posted and how others interacted with them. So it looks at, are other people interacting with this in order to be able to do that? Then they also go on to say things that they also avoid recommending in reels for reasons like low resolution or watermarked reels. So when they see that TikTok logo, they're gonna depress your reels. Reels that focus on political issues, reels that are made by political figures, parties or government officials, or people on their behalf, you know, surrogates, people who are politicos and pundits. They also avoid recommending reels that are, as I noted earlier, low resolution and watermarked. So just be mindful of the quality of the reels that are being presented. I just thought this was really interesting that they're exposing this to us and giving us a better understanding of which reels are shown to people and why. Continuing on in Instagram, Instagram has recently also noted that their insights, so you know, if you have a profile, you can go to insights, and in that business profile or creator profile, you can see insights. It was 30 days, they have increased that to 60 days, and they are going to try and increase that to 90 days by the end of this summer. So you are now going to be able to see more data in that insights profile over a longer span of time. I really, really like this because for the most part, when we think about the data coming from these platforms, the data set is too small for it to show anything that is, quote unquote, statistically significant. And so we end up seeing data and making poor business decisions because we see, oh, well, this one got 14% more likes than this other thing. But it's really not particularly useful data because it's such a small data set. We really need to see things in the hundreds or thousands in order to really be able to make better decisions. So I'm really glad to see that they are going ahead and giving us more data over a longer period of time and that therefore being able to go ahead and understand that data better. I always recommend that you go into Facebook Business Suite and anything they allow you to download over, you know, any span of time, download that so you can save it. And that way you can look at it better in the aggregate. There's nothing better than Google Sheets or Microsoft Excel or LibreOffice Calc or some, you know, type of spreadsheet software. So you can download that data and look at it in a longer term, more aggregate sense, because that's going to, you know, mediate the spikes that could be outliers in your data. All right, on to Twitter. Twitter has recently launched a pilot of their U.S. e-commerce concept that they're calling the shop module. And so you can think about this as being like any other of the shoppable concepts within Pinterest or an Instagram or on Facebook, where people are capable of clicking on brands and or retailers products that they showcase on their profiles. And so this is out and testing. This is going to be on professional profiles, and so we'll see what happens as they start to scale this out and we see more and more opportunities for people to be able to click on an item, look at products in a carousel view from the profile, and then they are taken to that retailer's website to be able to purchase in mobile. So we can see that GameStop and Arden Cove are there doing this already. And there are some other major brands, Nike, Patagonia, Walmart. If you want to check out what they're doing, head over to their Twitter profiles and see those e-commerce features that are embedded there. And is it something that your business may be interested in doing? And so check it out and see if it is. And that way, when it does come out of this pilot period, it might be something that you go ahead and look into utilizing. Twitter is also going out there and testing the connection between Revue and their and your Twitter profile. So Revue is the newsletter platform that Twitter purchased. And in essence, Revue allows you to do paid or free newsletters, and it makes it really simple for you to do so. And now they are trying to connect that directly to your Twitter profile so that, as you can see in the little GIF here, you can click on the subscribe button. It pops up a little modal from the bottom of your page on mobile, and you're then capable of subscribing to the Revue newsletter right there. Very, very easy and quick to be able to do. So I like the concept. It comes to fruition because this is just really great for people to just have an easy subscribe button so that they can go ahead and subscribe to newsletters and connect the different disparate parts of your marketing together. There's nothing more powerful than your newsletter when it comes to digital marketing. And so really being able to connect those pieces to Twitter in the same system just makes a lot of sense. Okay, continuing on with Twitter. Twitter is adding what they call context to their trending topics. And so in essence, you're going to see more and more information underlying the different topics that you are looking for. So when you look at Twitter, you'll see like a hashtag and a topic. Below that now, you're going to see a little bit more data that gives you a bit more information about that. So it's going to basically say, hey, you know, is this something that you want to check out rather than just seeing the hashtag, which you may have no idea what the hashtag is about. It gives hopefully a little bit more explanation to you in that sense. And I'm appreciative of that because sometimes they're, you know, something that is maybe pop culture related and it's trending on Twitter, but I have no interest and or I have no idea why I would be even interested in why it's showing it to me. That little description in gray below the hashtag will hopefully now clue me into why it's showing in the first place and then, you know, quickly tell me whether or not I want to check it out or not. Twitter is also adding third-party signup, and I'm really, really excited about this. So to date, you've only been able to sign up on Twitter through your email address and phone number. Now you can sign up directly using Google and or Apple sign-in. So single sign-on or SSO, you're capable of now signing up and signing in with your Apple or Google credentials, which is fantastic. I always recommend it if you can log in through something that is handling those credentials for you, as opposed to you having to have another username and password to remember, all the better. So use it if you do not have a Twitter account and you're creating one, or you can go into your Twitter security settings and activate it and therefore be able to log in through Google or Apple. On to TikTok. TikTok, of course, we talked about last month as, you know, really, you know, it's exponential growth. And in this sense, it has now gone to increasing the maximum length of videos from 60 seconds. I told you that Instagram Reels is now at the 60-second mark, while TikTok has decided to increase their maximum length to 3 minutes. So each of those videos can now be 3 minutes in length. TikTok is also getting stories. We can see that the competition is pretty hot between Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok as all three platforms try to vie for eyeballs, for attention. And TikTok has gone out and decided to launch stories. So you're going to have 24-hour stories now available in TikTok very soon. They're working on their version of it, and they'll be rolling it out to their platform. So we will now have, in essence, short-form videos and stories available within the TikTok environment. So you'll have TikTok-style videos and then the stories as well. And so it gives a new surface, both a new surface for users who are following creators on TikTok, but it also for creators creates a new surface for them to be able to extend views so that they can sell more ads or sell more paid promotional content within those spaces. So good for both business and creators, and I think probably good for users as well. Finally, TikTok has launched a new ad type. It's called Spark Ads. And Spark Ads basically takes creators' content that is getting buzz, right? So if a particular creator's content has started to get traction, Spark Ads basically gives brands the ability to look at that content and then immediately turn it into an ad. And so this is very interesting. I'm curious to see how this will really work in the real world, but it's a very quick way for brands to say, hey, this creator's creating something. I want to turn it into an ad. They pay the creator. I think it's a one-time fee, but you can check the documentation on that. And so it pays the creator a one-time fee, and then they're able to utilize that content in their own advertising campaigns. So very interesting concept there. Moving on to YouTube, YouTube has decided to start testing what they call Premium Lite, which is an ad-free YouTube. No other benefits other than removing the ads from YouTube videos. I don't know about you, but I watch quite a bit of YouTube, and when I get interrupted with ads, they can be a little bit, daunting sometimes. I'm not bothered by them. I mean, I have ads in my videos as well. You know, it's a way to support the ongoing video work that we do. But you know, if you want to, you can also just use Premium and or now what seems to be something called Premium Lite. So with Premium, you get YouTube Music and you get some other benefits through the YouTube Premium program. With Premium Lite, it's just ad-free. And so it looks like it's going to be about €7, and so I'm wondering whether or not that's going to move to that €7. I guess that's about $10, maybe $8 or $9 USD, but you know, we'll see what happens when that flips over and becomes reality. We'll see what the pricing is going to be. But I find it fascinating that they're playing with different models. What I would really like to see is a Google One / YouTube Premium kind of combination. Since you know I'm a Google One subscriber, that's the Google storage, so Google Drive, Google Photos, Google product storage in that sense, and I'm also a YouTube Premium member. I wish they would just bundle that all together and even give us a family plan so I can just cover all of those pieces with one fee with maybe a small discount for having multiple services all together. So we'll see what happens. But I like the idea that people have choices because not everybody wants YouTube Music as a part of YouTube Premium. Next up, YouTube is also adding video chapter listings in search. And this could be really beneficial to SEO or search engine optimization and search engine marketing. So in essence, YouTube is going ahead and placing chapter listings in all kinds of areas, especially on mobile and within the application. But the idea here is that when someone does a mobile search or someone is doing a search on desktop, they're now going to see chapter titles. This is partially because Google is adding chapters. And so just so you're aware, chapters are basically time signatures within the video. So if I know that my video is broken up into four or five different sections, I can just put 0:00 and then say introduction, and then 1:30 space, and then another description, and that's 1:30 in. And I can do that throughout the whole entire video. And what those do is it places a little line underneath the video, a broken up set of lines, and I can click on any one of those sections and jump to those parts, and I know what those pieces are about. Now, when you're in a search, in especially mobile, it'll give you a drop down, and it'll show you how many chapters are in a video. It'll have them named, so you can jump to that section for what you're trying to learn. This is incredibly interesting to see how YouTube is going about this process. Now, you can do it manually, but Google is actually going out there and automating this process to some extent. And so we're going to see more and more of these chapters showing up, which means the words you use in those chapter listings are important. So make sure that you're going out there, certainly for search engine optimization purposes, making sure you are identifying what those chapters are, what's in the video at that point, because those are things that people are searching for on Google, as well as YouTube and other places. So it can be really, really beneficial to you there. Also of note, LinkedIn, moving on to LinkedIn. LinkedIn has purchased a video tutorial application called Jump Rope. And so we'll see what LinkedIn does there. Really not much other news than the fact that obviously LinkedIn wants to stay viable in the video training space. They own LinkedIn Learning, formerly known as Lynda. And they continue to produce lots and lots of video content in that space. And so purchasing Jump Rope gives them, I guess, the next step in that direction to see where things go. So they purchase Jump Rope. I'll be paying attention to what they're doing. They're basically taking all of the platform and depublishing it or unpublishing it. And so that'll all go away. And then we'll see what happens to the Jump Rope functionality, the team and otherwise, and how they go about creating new features within, presuming LinkedIn Learning, but it could be potentially on LinkedIn proper, what they do with this technology going forward. All right, on to just a little bit of news about Snapchat. Snapchat has created a new Snapchat Trends tool, and this is really phenomenal. So this is just like, think of Google Trends and the way in which you can identify keyword popularity or key phrase popularity. Now you can go ahead and do this for Snapchat itself. So Snap Inc., the company that produces Snapchat as Snap Lenses and the other products it does, they are now giving you a trending tool. And this is just another really good data point for you to be able to see across the board what are people saying and what are people interested in finding on Snapchat. And that means that if your audience is on Snapchat, they may also be looking for those terms on Google and on Bing and other search engines. And this can help fill in the gap for you of understanding that. So just interesting and good for us to have another tool in our toolkit. On to Pinterest. Pinterest has gone ahead and added an ideas pin. This was several months ago we talked about this. Now they are making those idea pins shoppable, meaning that you can now push advertising dollars behind an idea pin, and those idea pins can now be shoppable. So people can click on them and you can go ahead and be taken to your e-commerce instance. This is connected primarily with Shopify, and it does note that your Shopify merchant details do need to be discoverable, meaning that it needs to be public. And so the idea here, am I reading that correctly? Let's see here. Scratch that. I think I misread that. So that doesn't matter. The idea here is that if you have an e-commerce solution that's connected to Pinterest, then those idea pins will work just fine. You'll just be able to click on it and be taken to the sponsored content. And it looks like you're earning affiliate revenues for ones that are not your own. So forgive me here. I think I misread this article earlier. So it says, quoting, this is great news for small businesses who will now be able to use Pinterest as another e-commerce outlet for their products. So it looks like this is, it was already a good promotional platform, but this Shopify partnership makes Pinterest a lot more interesting to businesses who know how to utilize social media to reach their audience. So it sounds like this is for creators who are putting out pins, and the pins themselves lead to other product pages, and those product pages are paying affiliate revenues to those folks. So I think that's how that works, but look into it. I think this is more about creating content and being able to make affiliate revenues off of them as opposed to not. I thought for some reason this allowed you as a business owner to be able to go ahead and list your own products, but it looks like this is for creators who are basically putting together products, kind of like the Amazon storefronts, where you select a bunch of products from the Amazon platform, you put them into a place, you embed that on your website, and then when people purchase them, you're now making affiliate revenues, affiliate commissions off of those purchases on the platform. So that seems like more like what it is, but it does say here that there are brand partnerships, so it looks like you can get your products into the shoppable idea pins platform, and then have your products purchased by virtue of creators publicizing them through their boards. So that looks like how it works. So check that out. Okay. Let's see here. This is now blocking me from going to my next tab here. And all right, great. So just a little bit of quick news. Reddit has been valued at $10 billion in their latest funding round. So that's very interesting for those of you who are on Reddit and utilizing Reddit. If you're not utilizing Reddit, it's an opportunity for you to figure out how Reddit might be useful to you. They have lots of new features that they're bringing to the platform. They're doing something like Instagram Reels in their feed. They have brought something like Clubhouse to their platform. They're really trying to innovate and bring more of those social network features from other platforms to Reddit as well. Just a quick note that if anybody was doing adult content or adult related content on OnlyFans, they are starting to ban that explicit content. They have mildly noted what some of that kind of what they call safe for work content is going to be. And so not safe for work, NS, not safe NSFW content. And so it seems like they're going to, you know, no genitals and other things of that nature, but they're willing to show upper body in the content. And so this is, for adult workers and people, you know, in that space where this will be impacting for other people who are using OnlyFans just as a mechanism for taking payment for premium content. This won't affect them at all. And so just know that that is the case. I was under the assumption that OnlyFans was particularly focused on the, you know, on pornography, but I don't know. And so they've made an announcement as of October. They're basically purging the database of folks who are utilizing it for that purpose. So just be mindful, and that's happening. Next up is Clubhouse. This past month went ahead and opened up. So they are now fully open. Anyone can create a Clubhouse account. And so you don't need an invitation anymore. And so I know that this was, a point of contention for a lot of people not being able to access Clubhouse, but now you're able to just go in and sign up for Clubhouse on both iOS and Android. And so if you're so inclined, go at it. I will tell you, I'm still bullish on Twitter Spaces, and Twitter actually just recently opened up their API to Twitter Spaces. So third-party developers will now be able to utilize Twitter Spaces in their inside of their own applications. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how platforms go ahead and do that. All right. I think I have just a couple more stories, and then we're going to close out. Two more stories. And so next up is Yik Yak is back. So Yik Yak is some kind of social platform that went ahead and went off the grid for 4 years, and now they are back. They are a location-based anonymous social media or social network. And so they're relaunching, and it says that you can basically post anonymous text posts on Yik Yak, it says, that are often funny or relatable. It's like an anonymous Twitter is what Mashable is noting here. And so that's what's happening. I'm not even sure where to begin with Yik Yak, but I'm going to probably, install it just to check it out and see what it's all about. I'm uninclined to think that this is useful for business purposes. And so I bring it up because I'm not interested in you necessarily creating content, but it may be a place where you want to do some social reputation monitoring, because if someone is capable of posting anonymously, then they are more likely to kind of spout off. And so if they, for some reason, have a bad interaction with your business, it may be good to monitor Yik Yak if you, for some reason, are so inclined. If somebody is, libeling the company, that kind of thing, you want to make sure that you're paying attention to that stuff. So I bring it up for that purpose. It's an anonymous platform, so you want to really be mindful of that reality. Okay, and then last but not least, in full disclosure, I am one of the Hootsuite Global Brand Ambassadors. I'm not paid by Hootsuite for anything, but I do love Hootsuite. So Hootsuite is acquiring or has acquired a new company called Heyday. And so that you have an awareness, there are all of these new, what they call conversational AI software that are coming onto online, in essence. And some of them do different things. So like conversion.ai, they are a platform that uses the GPT-3 engine, basically a machine learning algorithm that goes ahead and produces content for you as natural language, like as though a human has written it. The Heyday is a little bit different because they are utilizing an AI for purposes of creating personalized customer conversations, basically one-to-one conversations through messaging applications. And so you can see the opportunity here of, having an e-commerce solution with a live chat widget, and having this Heyday conversational AI converse with clients, provide them with links, answer questions that they might have, all as though a live customer service representative was handling that message, as opposed to you having to do so. And so we're seeing more and more AI capable of transacting and and communicating with customers without you needing to be there officially or live in person or having customer service representatives there. And they can, of course, take over if necessary. You know, you can have backup humans for that purpose. So just be mindful that this is coming online. Heyday is a very interesting product, and we'll see how that kind of blends into Hootsuite over time, because that's obviously something that I think is going to happen. And so I find it fascinating that we're seeing all of these different ways in which technology is coming online. And that means that, say, at some point, you know, you'll have your Facebook and your Twitter and so on and so forth, and Heyday will be able to respond back to people and let them know, oh, are you looking for this product? You can check it out on this page. And they'll be able to tweet out or, you know, send direct messages back and forth with customers to a point. And then if someone does need to talk to them, you know, live, then they can go ahead and put them in touch with a live agent. So I think it's all really interesting stuff to kind of think about when it comes to these technologies. All right, that really brings us through to the end of our items for today that I wanted to cover. If there's anything that I missed, please let me know. I'm happy to throw those into the video description or just leave it as a comment underneath. But otherwise, we have upcoming events. And if you want to check out any of those upcoming events, you can do so by joining our community by going to www.webandbeyond.community. And you'll find our upcoming events. That includes our webinars, our roundtables, and any other events that we have coming up. We have a couple of things that we're going to be putting on the calendar very soon. So when you join Web and Beyond community, you'll get first notice about those things. And we'll also put those up on our website, obviously, under events, which shows up in Eventbrite and other places. So you can feel free to go ahead and sign up there if you do not want to sign up for our community. And so we have come to the end of our time together. If you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That really helps us make new small business friends. And so thank you for doing that. If you have a question, feel free to leave a comment. You can also tweet at me on Twitter. I'm at W. That's the number three. So at W3 Consulting on Twitter, and always happy to have conversations there. You can join us here every Monday at 11 a.m. usually Eastern. And we'll let you know if we have another time. We'll usually post out on social if we do have to move the time to another time. And so thanks for spending this Web and Beyond live with me. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and our subsidiary W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing and managing your small business on the Web and Beyond.